Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 125. I think I'm starting to get a little bit loopy. I mentioned on my last podcast that I'm batching podcasts. So I have been in front of my microphone or in meetings all day. It's the end of the day. So things are starting to get a little crazy. I'm recording all of my intros and just thinking about a couple of personal things I wanted to tack on to the front of these. So I am having one of those days where I feel super grateful about the people I get to meet, the work that I get to do, and the community that I'm a part of. And today I interviewed the two winners of our Community Manager Award. So the GWA gave out this award at the conference this year. And if the conference is not yet on your calendar, make sure you get on the mailing list. You can scroll to the bottom of the globalworkspace.org homepage and get on the mailing list to make sure you get all the updates. We also send a pretty awesome weekly newsletter with lots of industry news in it. And so we, and particularly me, since I do a lot of work with community managers, wanted to recognize the heart and soul of who runs our spaces. So I said, let's do a community manager track, which was wildly successful, and I cannot wait to grow that next year, and a community manager award. And I got to sponsor that as part of my community manager university, which you're starting to hear more about as we get closer to launch. So today I interviewed Lorena, who you heard now a couple of weeks ago, and Bryce Hill in Denver for Office Evolution. And I just keep thinking about how amazing this industry is, and coming off of the conference, one of the most common, and Mike Creel mentioned this when I interviewed him, pieces of feedback was how willing people in this industry are to share. And I mentioned that actually I do the opening remarks for the conference, which I love to do. I love a microphone, as you can tell. And I talked a little bit, we had, you know, almost half of the group were new attendees, talked about our culture, and I encourage everyone to try to maintain our culture of being open and sharing, and the concept that rising tides rise all boats. Like, basically the fact that our industry is growing and we should all benefit from that, coming at this from mindset abundance and not scarcity. There should be plenty for all of us, although I'm sure some of us are starting to feel the heat of more competition as more spaces open in urban markets. And I was thinking about sort of this community and some of the unexpected things that have happened from being a part of the co-working community. And I want to give a special shout out to Chris Campagna. He was just in town the other day, and I was thinking how crazy it is that we met about a year ago. I think it was right after the conference last year. He sent me an email and he paid attention and knew that I did CrossFit, and he does CrossFit. And so his email was like, Fran, Brenda, or Elizabeth, something like that. So there are workouts in CrossFit that are named for women. And so, you know, he asked me kind of which is my favorite one, haha, and said something about the industry and the conference and a project he was working on that he wanted to chat about. And his daughter is in college at Berkeley. So he comes to the Bay Area. So we get to hang out. He had some great ideas. So good that I recruited him to be on our advisory board, and he's an awesome member of the advisory board and maybe award-winning because he hosted our after party for the conference this year at his soon-to-be open space in Alexandria, Virginia. And I was just thinking that if it weren't for the podcast and co-working and whatnot, like, he just would not have been a person that I connected with. So now when he swings through to see his daughter, I hope I continue to get a call for lunch, or we met in the space. He actually used my conference room for a meeting that he had. And Chris, if you're listening, I have my Phoenix planner in front of me. I'd be curious if anybody else uses the Phoenix planner. It's somewhat intimidating, but it aligns pretty well with traction, which is a process I'm trying to get better at following. We use it for the GWA, and I'm trying to use it more for my personal businesses. Quick promo, we're doing a traction webinar in December, actually by another operator who in her Other Life helps people implement traction into their businesses. Katina Kohler, she is doing a webinar for the GWA in December. Again, if you're not on the mailing list, make sure you hop over to the website and do that. But the last time I saw, well, when I was there for the conference, he and I, well, he took me to CrossFit, which was amazing. I got to get the workouts in when I need the workouts. And he showed me his planner and how diligent he's being about filling it out. And he's my inspiration to get focused on doing that so that I can be more focused. And productive is not really the word I like to keep using. I think it's about doing the things that are important. So productive in that sense. But anyway, it's my thankful day for the people in this community, and in particular, Chris and then Bryce, who I got to meet at the conference and hand an award to, and a gift certificate came with some cash. So congrats to Bryce and Lorena, who was on a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, let's get ready to jump in. Since I keep talking about Community Manager University, if you are new to the podcast, I am preparing to launch Community Manager University, which is a training and development platform for community managers to support them in their job from day one to regional manager. The platform includes mini courses that cover the major buckets of the community manager role, including sales, marketing, operations, finance, and leadership, and of course, community management. Content is laid out in a graduated learning path so that the community manager can identify what content is relevant to them, given their experience. And they will also get resources, templates, Q&A calls, and a Slack group for peer networking. If you are interested in learning more, go to everythingcoworking.com/community managers. Without further ado, let's hear from Bryce Hill. Welcome to today's podcast. I have a special guest today, Bryce Hill. Bryce is the business center manager in Denver for Office Evolution. He is also the very first U.S. winner of the Community Manager Award. We initiated this award this year at the GWA conference, and I was the sponsor of that award. It was my idea. I wanted to celebrate the heart and the soul, and sometimes the brains too, behind our spaces, which is the folks that run them day to day. And we had over 100 nominations. Lots of people want to support their community managers, which we love. So we can't wait for next year. But Bryce was our winner for this year, and I wanted to bring him on so you can get to know him. Bryce, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here and for obviously creating the inaugural award there for me.
Yeah, we're thrilled. So Bryce is hiding out in a room in his space. He's on duty, but he's hoping he doesn't get interrupted. So thanks for taking a little bit time out of a day that we know is busy. So tell us a little bit about you personally. So you're in Denver. Tell us about your space, where it's located, and we'll dive into some details.
Yeah. So I run the center in downtown Denver. It's in a historic landmark building. It was built in 1880. So it's got a ton of character to it. Beautiful exposed brick, just, you know, two blocks away from our Union Station. So super accessible. It's really great for folks who are in town for conferences or just, you know, visiting for a little bit, as well as folks who may be commuting from one of the suburbs or something like that. It's a super accessible place. I love to eat, so I love that it's near so many restaurants and shops. And, you know, if I ever do get out of the center during the day, there's just so much stuff going on right nearby here.
So are you born and raised in Denver?
I'm not. I'm actually from Bakersfield, California.
Oh.
And yeah. And I've been in Denver for 3 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. I live close by to downtown here, and I bike in to work each morning along the creek there. So it's pretty ideal commute. Takes me like 6 minutes to get here each day.
Wow. What happens in the winter when it's snowing?
I get on my bike.
Do it anyway? Okay.
Yes. Gloves and a hat.
The gear.
And just... Yep. And just sometimes it takes 5 minutes on those days because I'm like, get there.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, Denver is super outdoorsy. Do you have other members that bike or?
I do. Yeah. Quite a few. We have a nice bike garage downstairs. It has like a bike shop where you can fix your bike up.
Oh, wow.
There's like a individual bathroom stalls so you can go and shower and do all that. So
that's a huge amenity. That's awesome.
Yeah. People really like it, just especially with how much construction and growth is happening in the downtown area here.
Denver's wild.
It just allows people.
Yeah. I remember not to date myself, but maybe 15 years ago when I graduated from business school, I had visited a friend in Denver and I was like, I want to live here. But I didn't know what I would do there. There was just quiet, you know? And now I have my mother and father-in-law and my sister-in-law live in Denver. And whenever we go visit, just so fun. It's just so much growth and so much happening today. I've tried convince my husband that we should leave our expensive Bay Area digs, but he's not on board yet. So maybe someday.
Yeah, I spent 6.5 years in LA. And so it was just kind of that happy medium between enough to do without feeling just overwhelmed, like there's just always too much happening kind of thing.
Yep.
There's just kind of that right balance of life going on here. Although people say that we should change our state bird to the construction crane.
Oh, I know. People are always very funny about that. I think when it's sort of sudden, they feel like it's constant. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm staring at one right now.
Yeah. What did you do before joining Office Evolution?
Yeah, so directly prior to working for Office Evolution, I worked as an area training manager for a retail company. So I worked with store managers in the Colorado and Wyoming area, all the way up to Cheyenne and down to Pueblo, just working to train store managers and their assistant managers and their staff and making sure kind of that there was a consistent training across the board at those places. And then living in California, I worked on political campaigns. I worked in sales and development for apparel manufacturing companies, kind of just a nice mix of a bunch of different industries, trying things out, seeing kind of where my interests really lied and that sort of thing.
So what drew you to join Office Evolution?
Yeah, you know, I knew I wanted to get into the co-working shared workspace industry just because I know that that's the future of business.
I feel like this is just starting, like people seeking us out. This is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, my parents have been small business owners my whole life, general contractors, own their own business, work for themselves, that sort of thing. And a lot of their friends the same. And my friends are starting to create their own businesses and do that sort of thing. And I noticed that that's kind of the direction that everyone was going into, that, you know, lower cost barrier, more predictable, a bigger network of support without added, you know, infrastructure needed, that sort of thing. And so I found Office Evolution in my search and had them kind of on a short list of interests just because, you know, they were pretty well established. Office Evolution has been in business for over 16 years at this point. I do like that Office Evolution works directly with small businesses and that each of the franchise locations are locally owned in the communities that they exist in, which I think is super important to our model. It just allows, you know, at the franchise locations, I see it when they're interacting with potential members or current members, it, you know, a sense of camaraderie in the fact that they're both small business owners. And then in my interview with Stephanie Sigler, she's our Colorado general manager. She oversees our 8 company operated locations. I really felt this great connection, and she really emphasized the fact that, you know, Office Evolution treats their business center managers as if they are owners. She encouraged me, if I were in the position, to take ownership of the center and really treat it like my own. And that's kind of what officially sealed the deal for me, where I knew that Office Evolution was the right path for me. I don't like to be super cornered in and just kind of follow a guideline each day. I like having the freedom and flexibility to kind of create my own opportunities and follow the paths that I think are going to be worthwhile.
Yeah. And experiment a little bit and not feel micromanaged. And
You know, that freedom really does add such a benefit because it allows me to speak with my members and see, you know, ways that I can add value to them without it having to be like an actual sit down and how can I add value for you conversation. It's just a daily get to know people kind of thing.
Yeah. More authentic because you're in that, you have that power to do something about what they're interested in. Although you love sort of those aspects about the role, but I could see somebody who's not quite as independent, maybe feeling a little bit intimidated by that responsibility.
Yeah. And I totally would understand that. What I do enjoy is that even as, you know, with the Office Evolution model, I'm the only Office Evolution employee at this location each day.
Okay.
And so sure, it's possible to feel like an island and feel overwhelmed or feel kind of, you know, I could use some extra help. Yeah. And I do love that, you know, one of our core values is Ohana, and the company really does treat it that way. I could reach out and have either another business center manager or have my general manager, Stephanie, or someone from the home office on our back end, you know, there with resources ready to help and ready to provide me with a little backup there.
Yeah. So the perfect mix of independence with support as needed.
Totally.
Okay. So I have some specific questions, but let's talk about Office Evolution a little bit just to kind of set the stage. And also William, I'm sure will listen and want to make sure I get all the details in. I'm just kidding. William Edmondson, the COO of Office Evolution. He's on our GWA board and much beloved in the industry.
Yeah, he's
so
great.
So how many locations are in the Office Evolution network today?
So Office Evolution has over 70 locations. I think we're at 73 right now. And 8 of those are company operated, whereas the rest would all be franchise locations. Franchise.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you have your own internal conference with that many locations. I think William is. Yeah. Is that coming up soon?
It is. I think it's maybe the day before this podcast goes live or the week before.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So you get to go, where is it held?
It's held downtown Denver.
Oh, nice. You don't get a trip out of it, but you also don't have to travel, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. I don't have to, you know, sometimes it's hard to pull away from my center for a day or two. So it's nice that I can go over there and pop in. And I hope that some of the franchise owners will take the time to come over and check out my center. And I'll get to meet, you know, a lot of people from our team around the country that I've maybe only seen on a video call or
name
mentioned in an email.
Yeah. Getting to meet people in person makes all the difference, even though today we have Zoom and lots of video options. It's still different when you get to make those connections in person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So what is the size of your space?
Yeah. My downtown Denver center is just around 6,200 square feet. So I've got 23 private offices. I have 6 meeting rooms, and then I've got a shared workspace.
Yeah, that's 23 and 60. That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about your members. What do they do for work? Where do they live? Kind of what's there?
Yeah. It's my favorite part of the job is getting to meet these people and hear about their companies and their work and their struggles. And some of these people, you know, I've got folks who are, you know, lawyers and family planners and that sort of thing that have been doing it for 25, 35, even 40 years. And then I've got, you know, some folks here who are maybe on their, I don't know what you would call it, but having a renaissance moment in their life and they're starting anew and just kind of, you know, giving something a go. I've got one of my members was a teacher and after 15 years of teaching decided to open his own financial planning firm. And it's just him right now. And works with, you know, people who aren't in that super high income level and just helps them kind of plan out their future, which is awesome. And it's apparent that that came from a genuine need. And he realized that that was something that, you know, could be useful. And I love getting to see, you know, as his business has grown, most of my members don't live in downtown Denver. And so they'll commute from maybe 15, 20 miles outside of town. Hmm. I've got, you know, some folks who this is maybe like a satellite office for them. And so they're only down here 2 or 3 days a week. And the rest of the time they're, you know, out meeting with clients face to face or at one of our other locations, that sort of thing.
Do you have reciprocity among your locations or how do you manage that if somebody wants to pop into a different location?
We do offer access to the entire network of our locations, depending on your plan. So most of our plans would give a member access to every location, which is another reason why it's important for me to not feel like an island because I do have a connection. So if someone pops in and, you know, I'm in from your Boulder location or I'm in from Overland Park in Kansas today, I can say, oh, you know, I know Aaron out in Overland Park and, you know, and it helps me get a sense of who these people are already just because I kind of know the culture of the place where they came from.
Yeah. And they feel more connected and more part of a community when you kind of know who they are and know their context.
Yeah, they're not just, you know, scanning a fob and sitting down at a desk and scanning a fob to leave kind of thing. It's, you know, it's us. We're Office Evolution.
So kind of on that point, how would you say, so there are a lot of co-working spaces popping up in Denver. How are you different, or what is it that you do to uniquely serve your members?
I think what we do that's unique, or what I do that's unique, is just kind of, you know, I approach everything from a human first aspect, and I just always make sure that I'm thinking about things from an outside perspective. That's a big part of our job, and just making sure that we are not giving blanket kind of help or services to people. These are individualized services that I'm offering, even though the plan is the same for you or Bob or Mary or Regina. You know, the cost may be the same, but the way that I support you is going to be different based on your needs.
I think that's one of the advantages too of a smaller location, is that you can be more invested with your members, and you can know them, and you can know their dog's name, and you know what they do for work. And
absolutely.
Although it's still a lot to bite off. So you're the one person in your location. What happens when you take vacation or get sick?
We will have someone fill in if I'm out for the day or for a half day. My general manager will either send someone here, or if she'll come in, and I've seen her sitting at my desk helping people out. You know, we'll make sure that there's always someone here if I'm away. I don't tend to be away a whole lot, except for, you know, if I'm going to DC to bring home a nice award
totally,
or something.
Right.
But, you know, if I do step away, we have, like, there's an iPad at the desk so that members can check in, or if they're not a member and they just want to see the space, it'll send me a text so I can either reach out to them or run back over, that sort of thing. So even when the desk is sort of unstaffed, it's still not
attended to in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I only ask these things because I always get these questions about single staff locations, and I have one too. What do you do for lunch? Do you leave? Do you put up a note? Do you?
I leave.
Yeah.
When I first began, I was really bad about it. And then I started, you know, that 4 o'clock crash where I haven't stepped away to eat, or I tried to sneak some food and that sort of thing. And I just, if I don't turn off my brain for an hour, then I'm not as productive and useful. So I do, I step away. I just put the iPad there. I don't put up a note that says like, hey, I'm at lunch or anything like that. Mostly for my members, you know, if you're a CPA and you're in one of my offices and one of your folks comes to meet with you for a scheduled appointment, they don't need to know that I'm away for lunch, that sort of thing. So just kind of trusting our members to know what's going on. And, you know, I try to make it as predictable as possible, and it never is the same.
What happens if you have a mail client come in while you're out?
A mail client.
Yeah. Like a, somebody comes to pick up their mail.
Yep. So everything's just locked in their mailbox. So that would be already ready for them.
Oh, they have access to their own mailboxes.
They do. Yeah. Ooh. So the mail comes to me, and then I just sort it and place it into their box.
So people want to know these details. Bryce. Are they like custom locked mailboxes, or are they some sort of, what do you use for your boxes?
Yeah, they're full, like just like you would see at a post office, you know, locking.
Yeah.
I think we have like specific keys that are a certain type that you have to have and all of that. So, yep, I've got 180 mailboxes that lock right up, and each person has individual access to that there for their plan. And then my office members, I just put their mail in their office for them.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's great though, because you've sort of engineered out, these are the problems that people think about when they're like, okay, I only have one person. How am I going to manage this? What if somebody comes to pick up their mail, you know? Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is, you know, I don't want to be sitting holding on to people's mail anyway. So.
No.
You know, as soon as I can get it into that box and get it out of my hands,
the better.
The better.
Turn the control over. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
So tell me a little bit, there is no typical day. What is your sort of typical, what is a day or maybe a sample of a week look like for you? Like what are the hats wear?
Yeah, I mean, so I try to spend, you know, 30 to 40% of my day working with potential clients. So be that, you know, aggregating new leads on my own, or working back on leads that already exist for me, you know, connecting with people who maybe came in for a tour and then decided to go with a competitor, you know, after about 3 months, 2 months, I'll reach back out and just say, hey,
to make sure they're still happy with their decision.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, hey, I remember you came in and I know you ended up going with one of our competitors. I just wanted to make sure that all of your needs are being met. If not, is there something I can provide for you? And I've even had some folks who came in looking for an office, ended up signing for an office with one of our competitors and then using me for their mail service because of that connection that I made with them.
And your special locked mailboxes.
And apparently the fact that our mailbox is locked being unique, I'm going to have to push that a little more in my sales process now that I know that's super unique.
I think it might be. I think a lot of people, I totally hear your point about like sort of being, you don't want to be attached to the mail. We don't have individual boxes. And I think it's a little bit unusual because it's an investment, right?
Right.
It's one of those things that, but I think Office Evolution as a brand does well with mail. So I think that's my understanding anyway. So I think it's just kind of part of what you do and what the build out looks like. And I like the independence it provides. Anyway, not to get stuck on the mail.
That's okay.
Back to your day.
And then I would say, you know, I do spend a nice chunk of my day. I've got, like I said, 180 mailboxes and over 20 offices. So that's almost, you know, potentially 200 mail clients in a day. So that does take up a nice little chunk of time. And the U.S. Post Office being what it is, never being consistent. You know, some days the mail's here at 9:15.
Right.
And some days it's 4:15.
Fascinating how that works. Yeah.
And I mean, I get it. I feel for our mail people, especially my guy. We've got tons of construction down the street here. So I'll see him lugging these big totes of mail. Yeah. Because he had to park far away or whatever it may be on a day where the alley is under construction or something. But yeah, so I'll do, you know, my follow-up with potential clients, and then I'll just kind of look through current clients and make sure that all of their needs are being met. I do kind of just kind of make my rounds and check in on people. How's your day going? How's your week going? I just internally call it a vibe check. So I'm just kind of...
I like that.
Yeah, just going around and just, you know, checking the vibe. I'm not necessarily that there may be anything wrong, but sometimes people don't want to tell you, you know, if they have a grievance or something like that, they may just want to let it go. But every now and then you'll catch like someone the other day, I got to talking to them in the kitchen and I realized that someone, when they reheat their lunch, is not clearing out the microwave. They're leaving like 2 seconds on the microwave.
Oh,
and I guess that's a pet peeve for some people.
That's hilarious.
So now, and you know, I didn't even think about that, but now every time I walk past the kitchen, I check the microwave to make
sure the clear button.
That it either shows the time or, so I do think the vibe check is important. And then I do take a walk twice a day, once or twice a day, just a quick little 10, 15 minute walk around the neighborhood here and pick up whatever clients or members from the office here that want to head out with me, just as a chance to kind of clear our head and kind of refresh the brain.
Do you do like a walk around and just say you're heading out, or how do you like companions?
I used to literally have to like go and knock and, hey, I'm going to head out for a quick little walk. Would you be interested in going with me kind of thing? And then it turned into, you know, at 10 o'clock, okay, we'll walk at 10. And then it turned into some days I'm 10:15 still working away at something and people would start kind of trickling. trickling up to my desk like, hey, it's 10:15. Are we going to go for a walk or what's going on? So it's interesting. It kind of self-perpetuates at this point, which is nice. And, you know, while we're out there, sometimes we talk shop and talk work, and sometimes we just get to know one another, and it makes it a nice chance to connect on that more human, genuine level and get to know these people, you know, that I'm around all day, every day.
Yeah, I love that. That was one of the creative things that you do that was mentioned in your nomination. And I thought, I love it because it's so simple. I think it's probably for some a little bit intimidating to start, because to your point, you're like knocking on doors and sort of, you know, you're making yourself a little bit vulnerable to the people who say, you know, I'm too busy or whatever. But I also think it can be hard to plan events in our spaces where you have, especially if you have a more experienced group. I don't know. I suppose anybody who's paying for workspace is at the bottom of it trying to get things done, right?
Right.
So some of the more, like the more discretionary events can be challenging to get people to, because it's hard to be like, yeah, I'll take half hour out to, you know, do sort of some fun activity. Whereas if it's a walk and there are other people and it can be sort of networking and we all know we should be walking more during the day. It feels mm-hmm. like a productive break. And I think people give themselves maybe more permission to do those little things. But we think, well, it's simple, you know, it's not enough because it's such a simple thing to do.
Right, right. But no, but you're absolutely right. It is that sort of, you know, allowing yourself kind of like a moment of zen and really realizing that it does have a positive payoff in the end. You know, it's going to allow you to come back to your work refreshed and renewed. And, you know, sometimes I'm out on that walk and I'm not talking because I'm just thinking about an email I need to get back and write. And that's okay because I'm, you know, kind of approaching it from a new mindset kind of thing. And if it's not productive, it's 10 minutes and then I'm back at the desk and it is what it, you know,
the worst
case scenario. Exactly.
Yeah.
I got fresh air.
Steps in.
Got out of a chair. Exactly.
It's totally. Well, so I have to think about when this one's going to air versus I interviewed Jennifer Easton, who's the head of marketing for the WELL Building Institute. So they do the WELL standard and they have a bunch of different aspects. And we were talking about wellness and co-working. And I mean, taking a walk is just such a simple example of that. And yet so important. So I love it. I need a Bryce to drag me out of my chair a couple times a day for sure.
Well, I'll send you an email.
We're going for a walk. Come with us virtually.
That's right. Yep.
So I'm curious, what marketing hat do you wear? I assume you get tracked kind of about follow-up, you know, CRM, making sure you're kind of on top of all your leads. Does lead gen sort of happen centrally or does each location manage like digital marketing? And then I assume.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, it is both. You know, there is a team at our office. Jeff Hensick runs our digital marketing and works with a team there. But then also each location is responsible for their own marketing and lead generation to a certain extent. You know, I do generate my own ads. As old school as it may be, I still run ads for my offices on Craigslist every day.
No, people, it's so funny. I was just talking about that with a group of owners recently, and I said that to my manager. I said, we might need to outsource this because it's kind of a pain, but I think we should consider doing it again. I feel like it's different by market, whether it works or not.
Absolutely. You know, prior to running the downtown Denver location, I ran a center out in Golden, and the response to my Craigslist ads there was much different than it is here in the downtown market, which of course it is. But, you know, I find them very useful. It's free. You can't pay to, you know, outrank someone on there. It's just, you know,
pure hustle.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's consistency. So I run a couple ads every day, 5 days a week, and just do my best to make sure that those get done. And it's a pretty high priority thing for me. But yeah, I run my Google My Business page. I do ads on Google. I run my social media page. So I do, you know, social media ads and social media posts and that sort of thing. I do in-house like little lunch and learns or member mingle mixer kind of things, all kinds of different marketing perspective things that I need to do throughout the day.
I'm guessing maybe not because you're a one-man show, but do you go out and attend events in the community to, you know, again, sort of that grassroots approach?
I do. I go to a couple different meetups, you know, the Denver Young Professionals group, those sort of, you know, pretty much anywhere where I have a chance to meet small business owners or people who are remote workers. In this day and age, they are everywhere I go. So I've always got a stack of cards on me.
Gotcha. Your OE hat on.
Exactly. Yeah. My favorite thing to do is to just run through, you know, the coffee shops or the delis and have a stack of business cards with me and just, hey, you know, if you'd rather come work in my shared workspace, why don't you come check it out instead of sitting here while the baristas are yelling and screaming at each other. People, every now and then, that is a very productive place for them because they can maybe tune into the chaos or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've got some great members that I have met just out in the wild.
Out in the wild. I'm starting to get more evidence as to why you were nominated for this award. You're definitely kind of, I mean, it's a lot to, had you done all of those things before, like social media and kind of managing the Google My Business, or were those things that you learned on the job?
I think this is the first time I've kind of married it all into one position, whereas in the past I've maybe done one aspect or the other kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this, you know, when I worked on a political campaign, I was walking because I was going door to door knocking on doors right. and recruiting volunteers. So I have no shame left, no dignity left.
You don't care about rejection.
Yeah, literally hundreds of doors slammed in my face. So asking people to go for a walk with me.
Right. Not a big deal.
Not that big of an ask. Yeah.
It's so funny. People think they should hire from the hospitality business. And now I'm thinking maybe find someone with no ego left.
Oh yeah. Look for someone who has just been smushed.
Right.
But I mean, it's also, I have had very positive experiences with that, which is why I continue
to do it. Right. Totally.
You know, if every time I went to a coffee shop and saw someone working on their computer and I handed them
through
my card, right, then I would probably not be doing it anymore.
What do you think, since it's not sort of cold knocking, what do you consider to be the most challenging part of your role?
Most challenging part of my role, just, you know, finding the time each day to do the things that I need to do. You know, I always start by, okay, this is the highest priority item. And I list it out line by line. And I try to like break the page between this has to happen today. Yeah. And then this should happen today. And then this doesn't have to happen. But then I find that the list of things that have to happen today is always longer than the day.
Right. Such is life.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's like you say, it's just kind of, that's to be expected. So I just kind of have to manage my own expectations. It's hard to want to do everything yeah. all the time and do it, you know, 100% right and 100% through all the time. You do have to kind of triage the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a unique role in that a lot of unexpected things can happen and that you're wearing so many different hats. So there's just by nature always a lot that needs to be done.
Absolutely.
I always think it's kind of a nice role in that you probably don't take home a lot of stress and yet the day is pretty intense and there can be lots of unexpected things that can happen. So
that's exactly right.
Pretty, yeah. Well, what do you think is most rewarding about your role?
Oh, seeing, you know, one of my members happy with something that I've done for them. Or even beyond that, just seeing one of my members grow or succeed. You know, I've got a member here who runs like a marketing agency, seeing them land a big client. That's a huge win for my day. We've got here in the Denver location, I've got some folks who started in one of my micro offices, which is basically like a locking cubicle.
Yeah.
And they graduated into one of our larger private offices. And then now they actually are neighbor in the building and they take one of the neighboring suites. They graduated into their own space. And a real testament to office evolution and just the service and the level of service we provide for our members. They still have a membership with us and have me do their mail, though it literally just means walking it next door. And yeah, I mean, they use our kitchen and they use our coffee and stuff like that. But you know, the fact that they still want to be a part of office evolution after graduating into their own space is a huge win for me.
Yeah, that's a great testimonial for sure. So you talked about knowing that you were interested in the industry. For somebody else who's kind of has that hat on and hasn't gotten there yet, what would you tell them is important and would make them successful in your role?
Most importantly, I would just say, you know, you have to be flexible. Anyone that is, you know, 100% firm in their decisions and can never be swayed or can never kind of go with the flow or the curveballs that life throws at you, or even anyone that's going to feel overwhelmed by that sort of thing, it's just not going to work because you're working with so many moving parts and so many different types of people, and they all have their own members and their clients and their team that, you know, if you can't move and go with the flow a little bit, you're going to just tread water all day long and drown.
Not to paint a dire picture. But totally.
But you know, you can drown in the essence of it all.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Bryce, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us. And again, I can see why you were nominated. You really just sort of enthusiastically embrace this role and wear all the hats really well. So in the show notes, I have links to Office Evolution and to your profile on LinkedIn if anybody wants to study up on how to be the next Bryce Hill.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again. And I look forward to staying connected.
Thank you. Yeah. And if anyone listening ends up in the downtown Denver area, check us out. 1624 Market Street, Suite 202. I'm upstairs. Come say hi.
Awesome. I know next time I'm in Denver, I'll have to come in and work for the day. Get it. Wait, do you do day passes?
Certainly. But for you, no
okay.
charge.
You let me in as a guest. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks, Bryce.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.